another mental episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts, Andrew, David, and Jen. This week, our topic is Deadpool Secret Invasion by Daniel Wang. And now, the cast begins.
Get ready, comics.
Welcome, everybody, to the 96th wall-breaking episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast.
Wait, does that mean we've had 96 episodes that break the wall?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Have we talked directly to you, the listener, 96 times?
I think so. We tend to.
I think, yes. We do that in every episode.
Now,
at the
now
end.
I'm kind of oscillating, because last week we didn't say an adjective, we just did a number. Now this one we're doing a number and an adjective. I don't know. We got to figure this out by the time we get to 100 episodes. So anyway, this is 96, right? I think I can count properly. And this week we read Deadpool, the Volume 1, Secret Invasion, and...
Plus Zombies Later.
Plus Zombies Later, yes. This was good.
It was good?
It was good. I had fun reading this.
Yes, it's a great, hilarious comic.
I especially appreciated the best part was that... oh, sorry. My name's Andy, and I'm hanging out with Jen.
Hello.
And David.
Hey.
So, my favorite part was that it was really, really silly, so you didn't care about any of the massive plot holes that came up, because, hey, Deadpool!
They even refer to some of the plot holes.
Yes.
Because there's one part where he's chained up by the Skrulls in the ship, like, with his hands above his head, and he puts his hand out to shake their hand, and he's like, wait a minute, how'd you get your hand loose? And it's not even addressed.
Yeah. I mean, like, my favorite with this one was, like, why was Deadpool even in the baseball stadium?
Because he's Deadpool. That's how he...
But, like, why would he be in the like, what are the odds that he would be in this stadium in a bodysuit that looks just like the mascot?
Well, that was the plan.
That was planned, right?
He was sent in there by Nick Fury.
So Nick Fury knew that the Skrulls were going to invade that baseball stadium?
No, he probably told Nick Fury... He'd probably just told Deadpool to get on a Skrull ship, and then Deadpool did his Deadpool thing. And he was like, I'm going to dress up as a sports mascot.
And hope they come into this baseball stadium.
I mean, that is kind of what he does. So.
I mean, it makes sense. Everybody likes baseball.
How does Batman always appear above bad guys on the fire escapes?
Because he does research and stuff.
And he knows... Deadpool probably does research,
no,
too.
No, he doesn't. Deadpool doesn't do anything related to research.
I think some subconscious part of his brain just tells him what to do, and it's, like, really smart somehow.
Well, there's the three voices, right? There's his, there's the vocal Deadpool, and then there's the yellow box and the white box. The white box seems to be the kind of intelligent one. But once they all get going, they just become stupid.
No, the white box is the crazy one.
They worried me. Because this is, like, exactly what my internal dialogue looks like. And I was like, shit, it shouldn't look like Deadpool's. That's, like, the worst sign. I don't know. Barbara Gordon's may have been, like, healthier.
Maybe.
All right, so have you guys read any Deadpool before?
No.
No.
So what did you think of Deadpool?
So,
as a character.
You made me read this trade, like, I think a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think I lent you the first three issues.
Yeah, yeah, and it was fantastic, and it's fantastic again now when I read it again. But to this day, before I read this, my primary exposure with Deadpool was, like, Deadpool versus Comic-Con. Those videos where Deadpool, like, goes around and does wacky shit with other cosplayers and puts it up on YouTube, and it's fucking hilarious and awesome. And now that I've read this, I realize that that guy does a really good job of playing character. A really good job.
Yeah.
Because this motherfucker's just wacky.
That's definitely the word for him. I mean, I don't know, it's just really serendipitous, too, that all of it works out for him so well. Like, how does that even happen? You can tell that he's just plot-driven, and it seems totally okay. Like, you mentioned the plot holes, right? It's, like... Even when it's not a plot hole, you just know that, like, he's the hero, and he's gonna win because of that, but it's funny, so you don't have to feel like it's bad writing.
Well, I don't know if it is. I think in this one, it's on purpose.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Do you think it's bad writing because the writer is not good, or it's bad writing on purpose?
Oh, I think when other people do it, not on purpose, it's bad writing. I think here it's good writing because it's very self-aware. So I like this, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Because I think this whole plan with the Skrulls, I mean, except for the giant plot hole of why the hell was he happened to be in this baseball stadium, like, I think this is genius.
But there is a degree of planning because he made a decision to put himself into the mascot suit.
Yeah, no, there's definitely... And I think his plan was get on the ship, make them clone me. It's a really stupid, crazy plan, but I think that was his plan.
Well, remember at the end, though, Nick Fury, he was like, when Nick was talking to him, Nick was like, took you long enough.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I did all these things. And he's like, you did that on your own. I didn't tell you to do that.
I just wanted you to get me this damn code. You could have just got on the ship, snuck off, and done that.
I feel like, you know how sometimes you know someone and all the weird stuff just happens to them? I feel like that's Deadpool in the extreme. Like, that's one of his, you know, you say Batman's superpower is super preparedness. It's like Deadpool's superpower isn't actually regeneration. It's kind of this mix of super luck and, I don't know, coincidence that works out in his favor. Or, if not his favor, then in favor of whatever.
Yeah.
The universe somehow always bends to Deadpool's. Yeah. Not his will. It just his doesn't favorite? Let anything too bad happen to him.
Well, I don't think anything too bad can happen to him.
Well, I mean, he can get his limbs cut off and stuff, and
he can get shot in the head and he'll be just fine.
Well, there's like a whole, there's like four or five pages where his brain is exposed.
Yeah, which is great. But actually, I mean, as wacky as this comic is, I think it's really smart writing for Volume 1. To make a bunch of clone Deadpools and see all the stupid shit that he can go through and making them do it to each other. Right? Because, like, how do you establish this character's power set, you know? I mean, Deadpool's not somebody who was super popular before this. He had kind of, like, occult people who were fans.
Well, there was... Okay, so this... I don't think... This actually isn't Volume 1 of the ongoing Deadpool. No. This isn't the first ongoing Deadpool series. No.
But I think, I mean, as a new writer, when you start a new series...
Okay.
You have to establish... What's my character's attitude that I'm writing? What's the power set that I'm going to define him as having, you know? And you have to find a way, as a writer, to intelligently build all of these things into your comic book.
Mm-hmm.
But still have the narrative point of view and the narrative voice be Deadpool. Like, how do you have this wacky motherfucker do this sort of exposition that you need to happen? And, like, it is genius. I'm just going to make a room full of Deadpools and have them shoot each other's brains out and see that he's just fine. Like, this, I mean, it's silly... But it's genius. I love it.
The writing always makes me wonder if we're actually seeing what happens. Because, I mean, Deadpool is clearly an unreliable narrator. He has, like, these flashes where reality shifts for him, and we know that's happening.
Where he sees Nick Fury as, like, a little kid with a lollipop in his mouth.
Yeah.
Or the part where the Skrulls come out of the ship and he thinks that they're asking for
his autograph.
Yes. They're actually beating him up. I mean,
so we clearly know when that happens, but it seems like if he's breaking the fourth wall so much, he's actually kind of the narrator, which means maybe he's the one telling this story and not, like, a third-person omniscient author. And if that's the case, how reliable is any of what we see, whether it's hallucination-based or not?
Yeah, there's no way to know, because, like you said, in most comics, there's the little, like, exposition boxes where they're kind of, like, describing the scene. All of those, there's two, and they're both Deadpool's own mind.
Yeah. And they'll talk to each other, they'll talk to Deadpool's voices.
The three of them have conversations constantly.
Yeah.
And he refers to himself as we at one point. Yeah. The point after he realizes that they're not asking for autographs, he says, is this really the best plan we could come up with?
Yeah.
So he's aware that there's two more of him inside his head. And it's hilarious. It's so good.
I really like that the only way to verify anything that happens to him is by, like, going outside his continuity, or, like, outside his comic, his title, and looking at what other characters experience, right? Because, you know, if you're reading Secret Invasion, you're fairly certain that what it shows you happening to Nick Fury is what happened, right? Like, for all we know, the actual events as Nick Fury saw them did not pan out at all. Like, the same way we see it from Deadpool's perspective. I like his crazy. It's special.
And I love that. I love the idea, because he basically is schizophrenic, you know? But I love the idea that there's this whole idea in psychiatry that, yes, there's schizophrenia, and 95% of the time, schizophrenia is a very bad thing because the voices are horrible to you. The voices in your head are abusive to the patient. But there's, like, 5%, maybe probably closer to 1% of schizophrenia patients, where the voices just, like, tell them funny jokes all day, which is awesome. So they're never going to go in and take pills, right? Like, the voices, I mean, I'm sure it's a little disruptive to your day, but, like, it's kind of funny to just walk around and hear jokes all day. I imagine Deadpool's in that 1%. Like, he's straight up got schizophrenic voices in his head, but, hey, whatever. They're just kind of funny, helping him out, having a good time.
Yeah, they help him think through situations. Yeah. It's like he's able to discuss things as a committee. Like, he doesn't have to make up decisions on his own. Like, the other thoughts are like, well, maybe you shouldn't go about it that way.
And they sit there and like, well, last time you fucked up, so I'm not going to listen to you. I'll listen to the other voice now.
It's actually awesome in that it gives him this sense of, like, objectivity. And that's so... It's in such contrast to how we perceive him. Because we see him as totally random, right? And yet he is kind of making these slightly, I don't know, can we call them well-informed decisions?
Well, I think what it effectively does is, within his own mind, he can step away from the situation and talk to himself from multiple points of view about the situation that he's actually in. Like, he can remove himself in a way that nobody else could.
And, like, the thing, too, is... He's not, you know, he does wacky things, but he also, we kind of say he makes well-informed decisions, but he also likes to create humorous situations. Not the writer, but I feel like Deadpool, the character, wants to do things in the funniest way possible. So that's why it seems like there's these crazy ideas, but he does it that way on purpose. He's going to get to the end he wants. He succeeds in that he gets access to the Skrull computer. You know, Norman Osborn ends up hijacking it, but that's not Deadpool's fault. He does what Nick Fury told him to do in this insane roundabout way that involves cloning and super Skrulls and his brain being exposed and somehow getting out of shackles. And it's just like this crazy thing. And he probably could have snuck in because he's pretty much a ninja, but he's the most funny ninja ever. Right?
It's because he wants to have a good time. Like, in his, like, warehouses of an apartment or wherever it is after he goes after this job, he could make a chair out of crates and boxes. You look around that room, there's crates and boxes. They're probably empty, but there's crates and boxes. Deadpool ain't gonna make a chair out of crates. He's gonna make a chair out of plastic.
It's way more fun.
Because then if it blows up, it's hilarious.
And like we were talking about, how does he, like, plan for these things, right? Like, the part where he climbs on top of the Skrull ship and plants the explosives and it explodes, right? He parachutes down. Where did the parachute come from?
I love that while he's planting the dynamite, he's singing, "Put the lime in the coconut."
Yes. Yeah.
As he's putting the TNT into the vent.
Oh my god. Just complete tangent to any of our listeners who haven't seen the original music video for that. Do it. It's, like, really disturbing.
And, well, plays right in.
Yeah, it's totally Deadpool.
Yeah, it's like, it was so he's somehow prepared for these situations. And it looks like plot holes to us, right? Because it's like, if I flip back... Oh no, he is wearing a parachute, actually, before he plants the bomb.
He is wearing a parachute.
I don't know if the entire time, but by the time he's on top of the Skrull ship, he has one. Well, actually, we don't know, because all the shots we see of him before that, he's inside the mascot.
Inside the mascot bodysuit.
Yeah.
Maybe, I guess he had it the whole time, which is really awesome if you think about it, because, like, that just makes him as prepared as Batman. That's really impressive.
But way more fun!
Sorry, Jen, I interrupted you.
No, I don't know, I feel like it's really hard to talk about Deadpool, because we can just be like, well, he's really funny, and then there's a pause, because, well, yeah, he's funny, but I don't know, what makes him funny, do we think? Is it just... that he's wacky? Is it that he's inane?
I think he's that guy in a group of friends who is constantly trying to be really funny, and most of the time he's not, but like one in five, he'll do something actually funny.
Yeah, actually that's a good point. If you see him interact with characters out, like other major superheroes, or even like just recurring characters in the comics, they all hate him. They all hate him because he's super annoying, and he's unreliable.
He's not taking shit seriously.
No, he never takes anything seriously, but there are characters in the in continuity that know that he can get the job done. Like, in one of the issues, they refer to...
I mean, he's effective.
They refer to Wolverine Origins. I think it's when he's talking about how he has no money.
Yeah.
And he says, we lost all our money on that Wolverine job. Wolverine had hired him to help him track down his son, Wolverine's son, Dokken. Because Wolverine knew that Deadpool could do it, even though he's, like, this insane person. But most people just hate him. Like, so like you said, he's the annoying guy in the group that's always trying to be funny, but he's trying a little too hard, and his jokes fall a little bit short.
And then, like, when it comes down to a serious situation, he'll be trying to make a joke and not taking it seriously. But I think at the same time, that's exactly how this character should be built. Not just because that's his lineage, but, I mean, you look at a guy like Wolverine, right? Who is the other super badass regenerative guy in the Marvel Universe. Why is Wolverine taking things seriously? Like, because he's brooding and dark and had some bad shit happen to him in Japan, like, what, 400 years ago or whenever? Right? Who the fuck cares? You're immortal. You could cut yourself off of the head and you regenerate a whole new fucking body. Right? And I think Deadpool has that perspective. I mean, he's crazy, yeah, but he has a sense of perspective regarding his own mortality and the value of his life. Right? I mean, he's like... He says to all the Deadpools, it's way more funny if the ha-ha joke is shoot yourself in the face. Because why not? Well, cut off your own arm. Fuck it. Sometimes you need to. Who gives a shit? Grow a new one.
That's an interesting comparison with him and Wolverine, because both of them, most people would say, are like mentally damaged. Like, obviously Deadpool's schizophrenic, but Wolverine's like all depressed and sad, and he's a loner, and he's antisocial. And all these things, but everybody thinks Wolverine's a complete badass. I think there's lots of people who think Deadpool's a badass also, but they're badass in different ways, right? Wolverine's like a hard-assed individual, and Deadpool's like wacky. He's like, blah, 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 look at me. I've got this ninja swords and a million guns.
And I mean, from a more serious perspective, I do think that Deadpool's personality and schizophrenia is the result of trauma, right? I mean, yeah. He went through Weapon X the same way
mm-hmm.
Wolverine did. And he went through it because he had cancer and he was looking for a cure, and now he's a freak. Like, there's some serious trauma related to this person.
We don't know how mentally stable he was before that.
That's true.
Because I think in the back of the trade, or somewhere, maybe in one of these issues, there's this interesting bit about his past and, like, all of his history up to this point. And it says, you know, he remembers, like, 4 different versions of his childhood or something like that. And he had all this weird stuff happen to him, and it seems like he was already having difficulties with reality even before he got involved with Weapon X.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, regardless, if you take a schizophrenic person and then put them through additional trauma...
yeah.
You're just gonna get a really cracked individual.
You know what's interesting? Like, you guys were mentioning no one likes him. A lot of other people in comics tell the same sort of stupid jokes. And, like, Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, he's so adorable. He makes all these jokes. His jokes are about the same level as Deadpool's. I mean, he's not as unpredictable. He's not as vicious at times. But, like, or you see just the campy, cheesy jokes all the time. So it's weird that people would dislike Deadpool for his sense of humor. And, I mean, of course, like, the way he acts and the action, you know, the stuff he does is taken into account. I was really disturbed when he actually killed people. I didn't actually expect that. I expected it to be, you know, shooting some red shirts. That's how it goes in comics. You shoot people and then nobody cares, nobody important dies, you move on with your life.
Well, I mean, and Deadpool's not a good guy.
No.
Well, we're reading this comic. He's not a hero. We're reading a villain's comic.
But that's the thing. He killed a bunch of unimportant people, and it felt brutal and cruel and, like, shocking. Whereas, I don't know, people get killed randomly as, like, bystanders in any superhero fight. Like, Superman can't save everybody, right? That sort of deal. And you're kind of like, oh, that's sad. But here, like, I watched Deadpool beat the crap out of that Skrull scientist, or, like, smash in his skull, and it made me feel a little sick.
Yeah.
I was like, that's really awful.
And yeah, when he says, I'm going to stomp you to death now.
Yeah, it was...
And then he actually does.
That was an impact. Oh, God, no pun intended. It was impactful, though, like, seeing that and realizing, oh, he's not Peter Parker. He's going to kill people, and it's not going to be... Even if it's people we don't care about, it's not going to be in this kind of offhand way. Like, every time Deadpool kills somebody...
He goes and he does it himself.
Yeah, and it seems like...
It's not collateral.
It matters. Even if it's just some random person, it seems like it totally matters.
That's part of the reason why I think people don't, the other superheroes don't like him in the same way that they like Spider-Man, is because Deadpool's funny and he makes jokes and stuff, but he's also he's super brutal. Like you said, he has no qualms about killing people if that's what the job calls for. But Spider-Man wouldn't kill somebody on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Even in superhero comics, you think of a mercenary as just someone who beats people up a little, or captures them for the police, or captures them for the bad guy who will inevitably, you know, clumsily, accidentally let them go. And here it's like, you know, if Deadpool was sent to kill somebody innocent, he'd just do it.
Mm-hmm. The money's good. Fuck it.
Yeah.
So, and what would... Okay, we talked about the Secret Invasion stuff. What do we think of the zombie issues?
Oh, God.
I think that speaks to what Jen said, too. There's a scene where... where Deadpool realizes that the guys that break him out of jail are actually working for the other for Zeke, mm-hmm. and he just guns all of them down.
Yeah, they didn't deserve that.
He's like, "Oh, you guys are actually." Oh, he's like, "Oh, I get it. This is a trap," and kills everybody. He doesn't try to escape. He just.
Well, I mean, and if you're Deadpool in that perspective, you're a mercenary. You've killed a bunch of people before. What's the quickest, easiest, most effective way out of this position?
Didn't he make a moral argument about it, though? Because those mercenaries gunned down the guards, and he said something like, "I don't kill innocent people for no reason," or something like that.
Yeah, he said something along those lines, like they were just trying to do their job.
Yeah, and he was like, "I would have been out of here within an hour if you hadn't come in and fucked this up," basically. Yeah.
There's also a point when he's talking to Zeke, when Zeke first, like, hires him for the job, he says, "I don't usually do assassinations."
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting, too, because if... but his... like, he'll kill people in his non-assassination job, but he doesn't want to take a job to kill someone.
That shouldn't be the point of the mission for him, I think. Well, probably, because that's not... you can't make that funny. Right? I mean, you can... if you want to infiltrate this real empire and get the code to the Queen's warship, you can do that in a funny way. But, like, if the order is go murder this guy... there's not a whole lot of punchline there, you know? I mean, if we want to talk about just why he would do it from a character perspective, I think that's a bit of the point, too.
It's kind of interesting. If you think about when he kills the Skrull scientist, he does it out of, like, this rage that his DNA was taken and played with. And it's almost like he's lighthearted, and then you see, like, under that surface, like, this rage and anger and hurt, and it's... kind of strange. Like, he has this really conflicting idea. Like, he's funny half the time. He doesn't do assassinations. He doesn't want people messing with his DNA or experimenting on him. It makes him really upset.
Well, I mean, that's... oh, sorry. I was going to say, that's how... he's at the point where he is in life because people experimented on him.
Yeah.
So maybe it's, like, some traumatic trigger for him or something. It's a little too close to home.
It just seems like... I don't know. If this happened to Wolverine, he would maybe kill the guy or capture him, but not with the same amount of rage. Whereas for Deadpool, it seemed like it was psychotic.
There's a million ways Deadpool could have killed that scientist, and he did it in a really brutal, visceral way.
Yeah.
Like, the way that he chose it is what shows you with the anger through the character, right? I mean, he could have found a gun. He could have found a sword. He could have found who knows what, you know. Done it. He could have done the murder through an object, but instead he did it with his hands and his feet. Like,
I think that's the difficulty of not being able to hear voices in comics,
mm-hmm.
because you don't. I don't know. I kind of think of him as almost having like a Peter Parker-ish voice, like kind of more boyish or goofy or whatever. And then in that scene, it sounds like, you know, Christian Bale's Batman type vicious to me, and it's such a big flip to the other.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think it is related to his previous trauma. Because he has a similar feeling when he gets to the zombie castle and they're trying to use him. He flips the switch there too and suddenly doesn't give a fuck about anybody in that building. And, I mean, he does it in a fun way where he's like, let me just go plant some explosives everywhere and I'm going to plan to blow everything up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, everybody's dead at the end of that. Everybody. It's super fun to read. But everybody's dead.
Yeah. Even Zeke gets killed, doesn't he?
I believe so.
And it's interesting because, I don't know, maybe he could have gotten something out of Zeke. At least some small payment, if not the million.
Some money! But... I feel bad. Holla at your boy, you need some change.
I don't know. It's just he instead goes along and is like, no, I'd just rather kill you. He's super disturbing.
You know, I didn't expect the conversation to go this direction when we sat down to talk about Deadpool.
Well, it's weird because the comedy is so upfront and in your face that if you take this comic at face value, it's just a funny comic about a wacky mercenary. But now that we're, like, actually sitting and discussing these little nuances and subtleties we found in the comic, you can see that there's some really intelligent stuff in here. Like, yeah, it's funny that he's stepping on the Skrull scientist's head and it's making a splorch sound. But if you think about it, it's like he didn't have to go about it that way. There's a million ways he could have done it. He could have just left the guy there.
Yeah.
The guy's going to probably die anyway.
Ship blowing up either way. And he's not exactly the most able-bodied Skrull.
Yeah.
That was definitely a revenge killing.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably not like a parallel I should make, but in some ways this almost reminds me of Gawain and the Green Knight. That story, if you take it at face value, is all about valor and the valor of knighthood. But then you realize, like, this guy, in the name of valor, is going off and doing all this really fucked up shit. And, like, trying to game the system and cheat and, like, kill you before you kill me, even though it was, you know, a nice square deal we were trying to work out here. Like, valor this, valor that. But actually, no, you're really a fucked up dude. And here it's like, oh, ha 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 ha, funny, yay! Wait, what the fuck? You know, it's the same kind of like, okay, there's a current going underneath here that's a little bit different than what's on top.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I was kind of flipping through the issues, and on a lot of the pages where he's gunning down people and it's kind of like vengeful and stuff, his little other voices are not speaking.
Really?
They're always quiet?
It's just Deadpool talking. See, like here, the part where he steps on the Skrull's head, on neither of the pages there's none of the voices. And then if you look at the page where he escapes from the jail cell, on the page where he gets broken out, so the page before, no, you don't, he's like talking to people, but then on the page where the guys come in and break him out, none of the voices, and he's got like a sad look on his face. This is one of the scenes where we see him without his mask. And then on the next page where he's actually killing them, the voices aren't there either. Maybe I'm just like reaching or something, but... No, as soon as we get to the page after he guns down the other mercenaries, there they are, and it's kind of the conversation is interesting. The white square says, "So, are we still doing the job?" It's like those guys were sitting on the sidelines while all this was happening, and now that they're out of it, they just like resurface, and Deadpool's back to being his wacky self.
That's actually really interesting because it makes it seem like Deadpool as a person is this horrible monster, and it's his mental illness that makes him an okay person, that, like, provides him with a conscience and keeps him in check. And that's actually a really scary thought.
But a really cool character.
It's grimdark.
I know, right? I was, like, reading this and laughing and having a good old time, and now we're sitting here talking about it, I feel almost like an awful poor person for having enjoyed this comic as much as I did.
I mean,
it's like, this is so
well,
funny.
It's a good comic, and the humor is very funny.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more like a roller coaster. When you're laughing, and when you're, like, upset by it, it's upsetting. I feel like we ought to talk about his costume and, like, when they show his face. His face is, like, super... He's like Spawn.
Yes, right? His face is all fucked up.
He's, he looks really brutal and angry, too. He looks goofy with his mask on, like he's always smiling or something. The way that the black patches around his eyes are shaped kind of make it look like he's kind of...
Like anime eyes.
Yeah. Or like your eyes kind of turn up a little and squint when you smile. It looks like that. Whereas, you know, he takes off the mask, he's just some scary-ass mercenary. So...
Yeah, it's weird, like... I'm looking back at I'm looking at the issue. This is actually issue number 4 that I'm looking at. After the other mercenaries kill the two police officers, he has a surprised look on his face. He's like, "What the hell?" And then after that, he's no more smiles on his face. He's like frowning and scowling almost until he meets the hunchback, and he's like, "Wow, hunchback!" And he's like, kind of smiling.
A real one. Can you say Igor?
Well, it's funny. The yellow box voice is the one that says, "Is that a real hunchback? It's not Deadpool." But then when they all get together, it's all happy fun times, and well, they're making fun of this poor guy, but
he ends up poisoning them anyway, so I feel like it's all fair.
I love that he's working for a mad doctor, but the doctor's a plastic surgeon. The deal's like, yeah, when I have time in my agenda, I'll take that hump off you.
You know my favorite part of that scene with the Hunchback and Deadpool? Was that the Hunchback knows Deadpool's stupid. And just says, here, have some refreshing spring water. And Deadpool doesn't even bother to look at the label until he's already drank half of it. And the label is a giant poison. Skull and crossbones that says poison in huge type. I'm like, dude, how the fuck did you miss this?
It's like generic Costco poison.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like just the basics poison. How did you not... Dude, really? Oh, I guess, yeah, you are kind of dumb. Oh, yeah. But the doctor. Man, if we want to talk about cheesecake art.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. My God.
It's pretty funny.
But I gotta say, the doctor wasn't stupid. He's like, I know, I've heard about your regenerative powers, and I gotta feed these bitches.
I like how Deadpool...
It's soft an arm.
He tastes like, what, rotten tofurkey soaked in formaldehyde or something?
Yes.
That's...
I mean, it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's just...
You gotta capture Wolverine instead of Deadpool.
Maybe Wolverine tastes bad, too.
Well, I mean, Deadpool's cells are all filled with the cancer. Right, so I figure it's the cancer that's making him taste bad.
So you just need it. Just need be a, that.
Well, I figure non-cancerous body would taste worse, or non-cancerous body would taste better. I don't imagine cancer is like spicy or something. Okay, this is starting to sound really bad. I'm going to step away from this line of conversation.
Good idea.
Well, I think it just shows that none of us have any experience with cannibalism. So
true that.
We don't know what we're talking about here, and that's a good thing.
Yes. But that's a really interesting idea. Like, could Deadpool be useful to somebody like that?
No.
But they are zombies. Oh.
It just works out in his favor. He lucks out. Nobody knew he was going to taste bad.
Yeah, he really does. He could have been in that situation forever. He could have.
And yet, it's just like, oh, well, this isn't working. And he's like, hey, I'll cut a deal with you. He's super lucky. I don't know, he's lucky in that unlucky way, where, like, nothing horrible happens to you, but you get in all these, like, goofy scrapes.
Like, I don't want to say that he's lucky, because the only reason he's in this situation is because his quote-unquote friend backstabbed him. But he is lucky that he gets out of it again.
Yeah, he has the power of good coincidences on his side.
I feel like fate just likes to dick with Deadpool.
Well, he's not a nice guy.
No.
But somehow... Sometimes the things he does end up being good for most people.
You know,
like he defeats Skrulls. Skrulls are invading Earth. He kills these zombies. That's good for most people.
Yeah, he doesn't get what he wants, but sometimes he gets what he needs.
Oh my God.
I did that with a straight face for a little bit. So do we want to talk about the art?
I think the art in this comic is excellent.
I love it.
It's with his face on, with his mask on, he's very expressive. Like, it's in the eyes and the little outline of the mouth. Yeah. Like, even those little beady white eyes, somehow, he looks, you know what it is? He looks really innocent with his mask mm-hmm. on.
He's, like, downright adorable with the mask. It's like, oh, he's goofy and crazy.
Yeah, I think this art is brilliant. I'm going to go ahead and use that word. Not just because of the mask stuff, but, like, I mean, we talk about what his face looks like with the mask off. Not just that he looks deformed, but the way you can see the scowl that you wouldn't be able to see with the mask on. You couldn't see that same scowl with the mask. So you take the mask off, and you can see it. And it's, I mean, it strikes you when you read the page, because it has to. This book is such a fun, happy book. You have to have a strong scowl on this character to let you know, wait, stop. Deadpool is actually really pissed off right now. Really, really pissed off. And we can't tell you that because you believe he's wacky. Right? So you're not going to believe any word that comes out of his mouth. I mean, we've already said he's an unreliable narrator. So you have to show me that he is pissed. And it works. You know? And then you have to show me 2 pages later when, oh my God, a real hunchback. I mean, not actually 2 pages. You know. Oh my God, yay! And the mask is back on. But at the same time, there are other scenes where the art works really, really well, like we were talking about with the scientist. I mean, you could draw that a number of different ways, but instead you see the blood splattering up from beneath Deadpool's feet.
Yeah.
I mean, there's And then we get a full page of, like, the blood trailing away under his shoes. Like, there's a path of blood that he leaves behind him. Literally, there is, right there on the ground. But, like, it's really, really good art in that it has to be, because when you have an unreliable narrator, you can't believe anything the text boxes say. You can't believe anything Deadpool has to say. You have to believe what you see, because it's the only thing you have to go off of. So it has to be strong, and I think it really, really works for the benefit of this comic that the art's awesome.
Well, the art tricks you sometimes, too. Like, when he is working on infiltrating the Skrull ship, he gets their general on his knees with a gun to his head, and, like, he's like, don't think I'm not going to kill you right here, or whatever. And the art is showing you the same thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's actually a toy gun, and it has, like, the little flag that says bang on it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the art portrays a seriousness there, too, that misleads you. So I almost feel like while the art is more reliable than Deadpool himself, there's nothing terribly reliable in this comic to make you feel grounded about the character in any way.
Well, because it shows us in the scene with the autographs that we sometimes see what Deadpool is seeing,
mm-hmm.
and that's just as unreliable as what Deadpool's saying, because he hallucinates.
Yeah, I mean, this is a hard one to talk about.
We've
been going on about it for a while.
It's interesting, because, like we said, it's funny, and it's also pretty dark, and it's very violent.
Well, we're going to rate it.
Sure.
All right, okay. David, you go first.
Man, this is hard, because sometimes this comic, like, not... So these five issues are really good, but it's hard for me to step back from the whole series.
Because you've read a lot of it.
Yeah, I've been getting it for... I started picking up this comic in 2001. Not 2001. With issue 1, which I think came out in...
08?
I think 08, yeah. So I've been getting this comic for quite a while. And it's got its ups and downs, but I think as an introduction to the series, this is really good, especially issues 1 to 3. And I was looking at the trades because we were posting them on the website, and I was like, why do they include issues 4 and 5? And then now that I've read them again, you know, back to back instead of once a month, you know, every month,
mm-hmm.
I realized that it does a really good job of introducing us to Deadpool. Like, he seems like a pretty simple character on the surface, but now that we've talked about him a lot, I think we have a good understanding, and I still haven't given my rating yet.
Nope.
So I'm going to give this comic... I mean, this is supposed to be our opinion, so I'm going to go with the 4, because now that we've talked about it, I feel like there's a lot to this comic, but you can also get... You can take it how you want. You know, if you want to read if you want to read something funny, this is a good comic. If you want to read something that's funny but has some good action to it, this is also a good comic. If you want to read something that's a little bit complicated and it's got some depth, this is actually a surprising comic. You know, it's got a lot of layers to it, but it's you can take what you want from it. So, and then the art's really good, too. The art is funny. The art also tells you a lot. It's also subtle. So, yeah, I'm going to give it a 4.
All right. Jen?
I'm going to say a 3. I liked it. It is definitely better than average. I enjoyed the art and the writing. I don't know. It was just okay to me. I enjoyed reading more of it. I'm not sure, but I'd be willing to read more outside of what we're doing for the podcast. But there's just something a little off about it. Maybe it's the wackiness and that... Even though not having a cohesive plot is well explained by the humor and just the theme and the tone of Deadpool himself, it's a little off-putting that he's just kind of doing all this random shit. I don't know, it's really hard to talk about this one for some reason or explain it too well, but I'm going to say a 3.
Okay. I'm going to give this one a 3.5, right in the middle. I also think this comic's... I think it's really good in the art, and I think it's really good the way that there's this nice wacky overtone with these really dark undertones, and I think it's really, really well written that way, but I think at the same time, the structure of the character is a barrier for the character, in that we can only get so much character development, right? I mean, we see right up front who Deadpool is, right up front, and then we get some undercurrent slowly, you know, with his violence and with his... incredible dislike of being used and experimented with. But that's it. We get 5 issues, and that's the most we can pull out of this character. And I think, I mean, from a writer's perspective, it's going to be difficult for Daniel Way to put in a whole lot more than that, because Deadpool isn't a character who will naturally give up many insights to who he is. He's just too wacky, too fun. There's too many conflicting voices going on in his head. And it's just, it's going to be difficult for this character to become anything more than what he already is in these five issues. So, I mean, as much as I love this trade for the depth in the art and the depth in the character and how dark it can be, even though it's funny on the surface, I feel like there's not a whole lot of room for growth. So 3.5. That said, next week we're going to read Volume 2. So yeah, next week we're going to read Volume 2 of this run in Deadpool. It's issues 6 and 7, and then issues 10, 11, and 12. I think they cut out 8 and 9 because they're part of a crossover with Thunderbolts.
Yeah, so the and issues like, alternated.
It's like Deadpool, Thunderbolts, Deadpool, Thunderbolts, yeah. And then back to Deadpool ongoing. So they just cut that out of this, and I think it's in probably a Thunderbolts trade or something somewhere along the way.
I think there actually is. If you guys are interested in reading those, I believe there is a Deadpool and Thunderbolts trade that collects those four issues.
Bam. We gotta read some Thunderbolts.
Yes, we definitely do. That is a...
Eventually.
We talked about a little bit with Birds of Prey that was a really consistent, well-written, ongoing. Mm-hmm. Thunderbolts is the same way. It's like almost at 200 issues nonstop, and it's really good.
Damn.
I mean, you know, it varies in quality here and there, but...
Yeah. So that's what's going to be next week. If you forgot the issues or, I don't know, if for whatever reason you need more information about the comic that we're going to be reading next week or about the podcast, you can always go to our website, which is www.atomicpoweredsupercast.com. You can always ask us directly over email,
which is atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
Or via the social medias like Twitter,
which is @APSupercast, or twitter.com/APSupercast.
Or if you think Twitter's just for teenagers, you can always use the Facebook. We are on there too. Like us. The little like button with the thumbs up, you can do that for us. Please do that. Do that. And you can leave a rating and subscribe to us on...
iTunes.
Bam. That's all the outro, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. So, until next week, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.